Good to see you all. Praise the Lord. Guys, can I have those center lights? Thank you. Praise God. Woohoo! And there was light. How many of you finished your Christmas shopping? Everybody give them the dirty look. Gosh, thank you. So glad. Shoo! Praise the Lord. How many of you are excited to hear the Word of God today? Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Praise God. Hey, we are in part two of our series called God with Us. Everybody say that. God with Us. And we're actually looking at different ways that we encounter God in the different seasons of our life, the different whoa-hos of our life. So that's what we're talking about. And our anchor scripture is Matthew chapter 1. So if you all open up to Matthew chapter 1, it's where we start, it's where we finish. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It's a kind of a good Christmas scripture. Yeah, I think so. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for the word. Father, we pray that we just give you our hearts. We open our hearts to hear from you. We know what you do, what you're about to do in our hearts through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Okay, y'all up Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Gave you time. Here we go. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means, everybody say, God with us. All right. So that's our key scripture that we're talking about and we're looking at through the week, through the month, whatever. Last week we started talking about how we experience God in the valleys. Who was here last week? Valleys. Okay, we talked about how we experience God in the valleys, and we said we enjoy God on the top of the valleys. How many of you enjoy, oh man, life is good, my kids are all behaving, they all passed, you know, life is good. But then we have, boom, something happens, and we found out we actually get to experience in a real intimate way the character of God when you're down in the valleys. Even though I like being up on top, on the hilltops, on the mountaintops, but there's something really deep that happens when we're in those valleys. And I use this example because I had four kids, and you know, I'm just sailing along, just happy, happy, happy. I have four kids, and they're teenagers, and then one of them does something dumb, stupid, crazy. Teenagers. Anybody ever have them do that? Man. And I thought, oh, then I'm in the middle of this. I found myself in a valley, and I really got to know the Lord. I really got to know him. I want to tell you, I learned how to pray. Anybody learn how to pray? You thought you knew how to pray, and then you had teenagers. Woohoo. Okay. So today we're going to talk about another metaphor in our scriptures. We're going to talk about wilderness. Wilderness. Praise the Lord for the wilderness. Okay, and we're going to talk about how we experience the presence of God in the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is a little bit different than the valleys. By the way, I think it is. So you tell me what you think. But anyway, and you do. Praise the Lord. So the wilderness is different than the valleys because it usually lasts a lot longer. The wilderness lasts a lot longer. The wilderness is a barren place, a dry place, a desolate place, a lonely place, the wilderness. And, you know, if I were to think of an image about being in the wilderness, you usually think about somebody wandering. They're wandering, they're wandering, they're wandering, they're wandering. That's kind of the image I get when I think about in the wilderness. And, you know, when they're wandering, or if you've ever been in the wilderness, you're usually wandering and wondering, when is it going to end? I'm like, come on, I've done this, right? You're wondering and wandering, when are you going to get out of this wilderness? Anybody ever find yourself? How many of you would say, don't raise your hand, I'm in one of those places today. I feel like I'm in the wilderness. Well, that could be something like, gee whiz, God, I am stuck in this job. And I feel like I am wandering around. Should I leave this job? Lord, should I go back to school? Shoo. If I go back to school, then, oh my gosh, I'm going to take on student loans. I don't know, God, I just feel like I'm stuck. Help me, Lord. Sometimes this might have happened to you. You're wondering and wandering. You're going, God, I'm dating this guy. I'm dating. And he hasn't asked me to marry him. I'm dating. I prayed and I fast. And all he does is play Nintendo. God, I'm just wandering and wandering in the wilderness. What's going on? Okay. It's never happened to me. All righty. Write this down. Wilderness, the wilderness experience often follows the mountaintops. The wilderness often follows the mountaintops. You were on the mountaintop, and the next thing you know, you're in the wilderness. So that's one thing. And you know who that happened to? Jesus. That happened to Jesus. Remember when he went to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist? Right? He went there and he got baptized. When he comes out of the water, what happens? That says that the heavens open and the voice of his Father says, "This is my beloved Son who I love, who I'm so pleased." I think that qualifies as a mountaintop experience, don't you think? Uh-huh. He is on the mountaintop experience. And then right after that, what happens? He is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. So you can say mountaintops, and then you get follows the wilderness. Praise God. Wilderness. Okay, wilderness experience. I'm trying to think of some examples. I'm trying to read what I wrote for examples here. Oh, okay. You're doing great. Life is good. Things are going good. And you found out somebody in your life was dishonest with you. Like maybe your spouse decided they were unfaithful. And you go, oh my gosh, I'm in the wilderness. All right. I hear that in my office some days. I hear that. And it's heart-wrenching. And they're going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Another wilderness. You find yourself in the financial wilderness. And you are trying to do everything you can do to get out of it. And it just seems like nothing's getting better. Something blows up at the house. And you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness, all right? And you try telling everybody about what you're going through, and they don't understand. They just look at you like, what planet did you fall off of, right? And you feel alone. You feel hurt. You feel alone. You feel kabushk. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good word here. All right. Desperate. Desperate. That's better than kabush. Here we go. So I want to give you one big thought, and if you're taking notes, these are our note cards. We'll give them out to you. Raise your hand. The ushers or greeters will hand you one. But write this down. This is the one big thing I just want you to understand. When you walk out of here and you make it all the way down to that mailbox, you will still remember it when you hit the mailbox down there. You ready? Write this down. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. How many of you did that? Walk that. So I'm going to say it again. I'm going to give you an example too. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. I'm going to give you an Old Testament story. It's about the prophet Elijah. Anybody ever hear about the prophet Elijah? Well, this happened to him. This happened to him. His deepest need became a gift that drove him to depend on God. Praise the Lord. So, Would you all open up to 1 Kings chapter 19? We're going to kind of camp out there pretty much for the rest of the service, so just put your bookmarker there. 1 Kings chapter 19. While you're getting there, let me give you some background about Elijah. Elijah literally had a mountaintop experience. He was actually on the top of the mountain, Mount Carmel, and he experiences this crazy, wonderful, powerful experience with God. He's just having a great God time up on the top of the mountain. And then in this chapter 19, he ends up having an experience in the wilderness. He goes from this mountaintop to this wilderness. And you're going, well, my goodness, how did that happen? Well, it happened because there's this king, King Ahab, who is really evil. And then King Ahab has a really even more evil wife named Jezebel, right? Yep. And so he's got these king and queen that are really evil. And Jezebel gets really ticked off at him. Jezebel gets furious with him. She got so mad because of all the things he had been doing for God. It was sort of like he was the Texas Ranger for God. And she just gets angry, mad at him. And she goes to her husband and she says, hey, listen, if you can't do the job, move over. This woman can. There's no ladies like that here, right? So she actually sends word to Elijah. She sends a word to Elijah and she says, hey, by tomorrow this time, you're going to be dead meat. All right? That's a threat. That's a big threat. That's a threat. Anybody agree? That's a threat. So, but this, the interesting thing about this is, listen, King Ahab has been pounding Elijah for years. He's been after him for years. All right? And all of a sudden, this woman gets mad at him and he gets scared. All you guys, keep your eyes straight. Don't look at your wife. Just right ahead here. Okay? So, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. She makes a threat, and this is what happened. Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. He went to Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant there. Okay, hit the pause button for a minute here. Listen to this. Beersheba, from where he was to Beersheba, is over 100 miles. And he runs there on foot. He doesn't take an Uber. He is running 100 miles on foot, and he's scared. Okay? Let's keep going. So Elijah was afraid, and he runs for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, all right? So he's just been on top of the mountain, and now where is he? He's in the wilderness, all right? So he runs into the wilderness, and now he's scared. He is alone. He's desperate. He's freaking out. Okay, this is what's going on here. Let's continue. Verse 4. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. God, I just want to die. Okay? And the next part, he probably said something that you may have felt or said one other time in your life. He goes, verse 4. I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Okay. Now, interesting. Not long ago, he is on top of the mountain. He's had this battle with this King Ahab, and he's been victorious in battle. He's been this mighty man of God. He's been full of faith. And then he's at the end of the rope, and what does he say? I've had enough, Lord. Anybody ever say that? Oh, man. I've said that a few times, all right? Okay, maybe you're here today and you're going, I'm done. That's it. I'm done. I'm finished. I've had enough. Okay, funny story about that. You know I have funny stories. I grew up in North Jersey. I was one of six kids. Actually, my brother Johnny and I, the twins, were the oldest. And then my mom and dad have my sister Mary 16 months after twins. I'm like, what are you, dumb? Okay. So, and then they wait, it's either, I can't remember what the distance from Patrick. I think they wait 4 or 5 years, and then they have three more. So I tell you this story because I was in college, and I come home, and I'm talking with my mom, and I'm watching the three younger ones. And one of them dropped the you-know-what bomb off to my mother. And I was like, Mom, what are you doing? And then my sister who did that slammed the door, walked out, the storm glass broke. And I go, Mom, what is going on? You never let Johnny Dee Dee Mary get away with all that stuff. And you know what she said? I'm done. I'm finished. So I remembered that. When I had four, and I'm not sure how I finished. But anyway, how about you've been in a work situation, and finally, it is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and you go, that is it. This job, they can just stick it, you know, where. I'm done. I'm finished. I can't take it anymore. Anybody have a job like that? Praise God. I hope you go back to work on Monday. So actually, what happens is you have become overwhelmed. All right, here's another one. How about this one? Financially, you're doing the Dave Ramsey course. Anybody do the Dave Ramsey course? Write that down, Dave Ramsey. it is painful because he says, cut up your credit cards. What do they call it? Plastic surgery? That's his joke. All right. So super painful. So you've decided to do that. You are just trucking along. I'm doing the Dave Ramsey. We are going to be financially debt free. And the car just gets, you just get hit. It's inspection time. And the guy calls you back and he says, sorry, lady, your car didn't pass inspection. It's going to cost blankety blank. And then you come home and you walk in the foyer and there's water dripping from the ceiling. One of the kids stuffed something down the toilet and you got to fix that. And then your two-year-old, I'm telling you funny stories, true stories, sticks a Tic Tac up their nose and you end up in the emergency room. Okay, so what do you say? What is going on, God? I've had it. I'm done. I'm spent. Anybody have a series of those things happen? The Tic Tac was not one of my kids. It was my neighbor's kid. But the other things, yes, have happened in my life, okay? You know, it's really interesting, the things that tip us over the edge, that gets us into these overwhelmed places, sometimes they're just the little itty-bitty things in life, like you love your family. I cook for my family. I prepare nice meals for my family. And they all sit down, and in 30 seconds, they have finished eating dinner, and they get up and walk out and leave you with all the dishes. And then I become Jezebel. This time tomorrow, you will be dead meat if you do not clean up this house. Bam. Okay. Tip you off the mountain, and the next thing you know, you're in the valley. Well, those weren't Elijah's examples, but what had happened to Elijah just threw him off the edge, and he is now overwhelmed in his life. He's overwhelmed, and you think, now I'm sitting here thinking, are you kidding me? This is the guy that stood against King Ahab and called for a drought because of this king's wicked sins. And then they had a drought. This is the guy that went against 850 prophets of Baal. And they had this thing where he calls for fire down on the altars and it burns up. And then God destroys the 850 prophets. This is the guy. This is the guy that God sends the ravens to feed him. This is the guy that he prays for this little boy who's dead and God raises him up. This is the guy. And you want to go, what happened? This is the guy, the prophet Elijah. Would you agree he experienced the power of God in his life? Would you agree that he saw the provision of God in his life? Check. Would you agree that he saw the power of God in his life? Check. Yeah. And then one woman makes a threat, gets mad at him, and he goes running scared. I'm going, seriously? Okay. So maybe you've felt this way, not with a woman, okay, where you've had, I've had enough. I'm exhausted. I cannot do this. I'm finished. Dear Jesus, I want to die. Now, we never say that, but, you know, God, help me, all right? It's probably a couple of months ago. Has anybody ever heard of Dr. Henry Cloud? He wrote a book, fantastic book, called Boundaries. If you have people walking all over you, get that book. If you're going to live life successfully, go get that book. They also have a teen version. It's called Boundaries. Okay, so he's super famous. He's a famous Christian psychologist, and I'm watching him on a YouTube thing, and he's speaking to a room, like a huge auditorium full of leaders, and they all are experiencing the same thing, and you might identify with it. They're all experiencing the same thing, and they're all talking about how tired they are. We're tired. I'm tired. How you doing? I'm tired. What's going on? I'm so tired. Okay, so he nails him. This is what I always say, get your seatbelt on, you're going to get shot. He nails him and he says this, most of you are misdiagnosing your circumstances. Most of you have misdiagnosed the challenges that are in your life. Most of you have misdiagnosed really what's going on. And he says, because really you're not tired, because if you took a nap, your problem would disappear, right? Just go take a nap. How many of you found out that doesn't work? Just take a nap, you wake up, your problem will be fine. No. So he's saying you've misdiagnosed really what's going on. Most of you, what happens is you're not just tired, you're not just overwhelmed, you're spiritually empty or depleted. Okay, so he's saying this to this whole group, and I'm sitting here thinking of some of the circumstances in my life where I feel overwhelmed, and I'm going, oh, I'm so tired. And I love it. I love it when teenagers tell me they're so tired. I'm going, are you kidding me? You're 18, I'm 60, whatever. Gosh, golly. But anyway, I have said that at times. So really, it's not that you need a nap, because that doesn't fix it. What we need is an encounter with the presence of God, an encounter with the grace of God, an encounter with the love of God, the strength of God, the mercy of God. We need to fill up our gas tank. That's really what we need most of the time. Yes, I get it. I was talking to a mom, and she said this past week, she goes, I am so tired. And I'm looking at her bloodshot eyes. She's had three kids, and they've been sick through the night, and she probably needs sleep. All right, so I get that. But probably more than that, you don't need physical rest. You need an encounter with the Most High God, a real encounter with a real present God. So everybody go, I'm going to fill up. Open up, most of you probably know this, Psalm 23. And that's what David said in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He didn't make you to lie down in wilderness either, right? So he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He, the Lord, restores my soul. I love that he does that. That's what he does, right? So I'm not just tired. I'm not just exhausted. I need to be replenished. I need my soul restored. Praise the Lord. So here we have Elijah, and he's going, I'm done. I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. And what does God do? Well, let me tell you what he doesn't do. God does not preach at him and say, you're totally messed up. God doesn't give him 10 scriptures that he needs to quote and yell at him and say, where's your faith, buddy? Listen, God is a good God, always, and he doesn't do that. So let's go read what he does. Verse 5 and 6. What's going to happen here is God's going to tell Elijah to eat and rest. Verse 5 and 6. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Cheeseburger with bacon. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread, maybe gluten-free for all of you, all right, baked over the hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. He ate and drank and lay down again. Wow. Okay, now, I like the part again. I really love that. The next verse. Okay, let me do it. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him. And he said, get up and eat. You know, he ate again. And then the angel came back a second time and told him to eat and drink. And I thought back, you know, I don't always get it the first time when God talks to me. Anybody just nail it all the time, first time? I read that and I'm going, yes, you sometimes have to tell me the second time. And sometimes the third time. But God always comes back. He is always after you. Isn't that wonderful? Yep. Now, people write you off the list. You blew it. That's it. You're done. But no, that's just so good. Okay, let's read verse 7 and 8 and 9. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, where he went into a cave and went to sleep. Praise the Lord. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing, Elijah? Did you read that there? How many of you, God talks to you? Like, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Why are you running from people? Why are you running from God? So he goes. He goes, what are you doing? All right. And then Elijah starts with the whiny voice. Anybody know what that is, that whiny voice? Anybody have kids? They do the whiny voice. Anybody do the whiny voice with God? I do the whiny voice with God, to be really honest. It's because, God, you didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted. God, what's taking so long? Yeah, I do the whiny voice. Anybody else? No? No, you guys are so spiritual. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, verse 10, whiny voice. He replied, I've been zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. Am I doing good on the whiny voice? I'm the only one left. Everybody's after me. Whoa, poor me, poor me. And now they're trying to kill me too. Okay. Praise the Lord. What's going on with him? What's going on with Elijah? He's in a wilderness. He is in a wilderness. Elijah's in a spiritual wilderness. That's what's going on with him. And he's hurting. And his need right then is so great, he can't even see God. He's just like, nobody understands me. Nobody's ever had it as bad as I have. He is just focusing on him, all right? So what does God do? God goes and meets him. God goes and meets his hurt. God goes and heals his hurt. God goes and just gushes all over him. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. And that's why I said your deepest need can be a gift that draws you to God. And that's what happened. This just pulls him right into God. All righty. Verse 11, let's do that. The Lord said, go out. This is the Lord talking to him. Go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Okay? And he's probably thinking, yes, I need the presence of God. This is great. I've been hurting. I've been so misunderstood. I've been so lonely. I've been so desperate. Yay, goody, the presence of God. Okay, let's keep reading. All righty. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great, powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks. And he's thinking, yay, the wind, God is in the wind. This is going to be fantastic. But what does it say? But the Lord was not in the wind, right? After the wind, there was an earthquake. And he's probably thinking, yay, the place is rumbling. God's going to show up. His presence is going to be there. This is awesome. And then it says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Ready? After the fire came a gentle whisper. Okay, wait a minute. The ground's shaking and God's not in an earthquake, right? The wind is just tearing the place apart and God's not in a wind, right? How about the place is burning up and God's not in the fire? Earth, wind, fire. If you're from the 70s, you got it. The rest of you, look it up. All right, seriously. Okay, seriously. Write this down, seriously, then you'll pay attention. God was not in the spectacular, right? He was not in the spectacular, right? God was in the ordinary whisper. It says God was in the whisper, all right? So why is it so difficult in life to hear the voice when it's a whisper? Right? Why is his voice so gentle? Why is his voice so still and so quiet? Why does God want me to hear him and his voice is in a whisper? Why? Bless you. Praise God. Why is his voice not loud, not spectacular, and his voice is in a whisper? Say why. Well, I'll tell you why. Ready? God whispers because he is with us, Emmanuel. God whispers because he is close as his name. God whispers the devil shouts lies at you, and God speaks the truth in a whisper. Amen. Praise God. Because God is always close, and God is always with you. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so what does God say in a whisper? He says, I'll never leave you. I've never forsaken you. I love you more than you'll even know. I'm with you on the mountaintops. I'm with you in the valley. I'm with you in the storms. Because God is near always. He is close and he is with us. Praise God. So, I just preached myself to tears. Hallelujah. So, praise God. Why does God speak to you in the whisper? Well, let me ask this question. What do you do when you're afraid? Raise your hand. How many had a sibling? Because you didn't do that. You're afraid in a storm. You're afraid when the thunders, and right? Okay, how many of you jumped on your parents' bed in the middle of the night? Well, my house, we had a no kids in bed rule. No kids in bed. Because the guy I married was 6'4". We have a queen-size bed and four kids. And I am not a nice person the next day without sleep. So this was the rule. No kids in bed, but you are allowed to be on the floor. And I don't know how many, you know, after a big storm, I'd wake up in the morning, you know, and you're like, oh, don't step on the little bodies all over the place, right? Anybody, your kids hop in bed? Any of your kids? Yeah, all right. Praise God. All right, so the question is, why do they sneak into your room and lay on the floor? Right? Because they want to be next to the one they feel safe, even if it's on the floor. All righty? So guys, in the middle of your storm, you don't have to jump in God's bed. You know why? Because he's with you in yours. He is very close. He is always with you. God is with you. Amen. Praise God. So how do I close this up? Let's pray. Oh, let me ask. Oh, one more scripture. I have a really good one. Write this down. Psalms 34:18. Psalms 34:18. Shoo. So I thought about this, and I hear this regularly. This has been my life too. What do you do when you have this deep hurt in your life? Like you're shattered. You're brokenhearted. Well, Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Praise God. Isn't that good? Right? Why? Because why does God whisper? Because he's close. Why? Because he's with you. Why? Because he's near. All right? Let's go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. See, you used to think Psalm 23 was the only scripture they read at a funeral. Man, Psalm 23 is so good, don't you think? Psalm 23, so good. Ready? Psalm 23, I better find it. Got it right down here. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I am not camping out in that valley. I'm walking through. That is not my final destination, right? I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, right? I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's what? He's with me. Shoo, isn't that great? Your rod and their staff comfort me. And praise the Lord. So, why does God whisper to his sheep? One, he knows their name. He knows your name. And the Bible says, my sheep hear my gentle whisper, and that's the voice they follow. Amen? So, why does God whisper? Because he's close. I'm going to pick on you. Why does he whisper? Because he's this close to you. He's with you. He's near to you. He's never going to leave you alone. Now, I have heard the devil tell me, you're all by yourself. yourself. You're pitiful. You've blown it. And, you know, I feel all alone. That's not true, right? God is with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that helping anybody today? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. I'm going to get you out of here early today because I got places to go, people to see, and lots to do. Amen. So the big thought was your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you near to his presence. Right? Bonnie, can I talk about you? I can't even get it. I've watched, and there's some other people here, but recently this past year, Bonnie was diagnosed with some creepy thing called cancer and just went through chemo. Okay? And I watched her deepest need just throw her into a place to the presence of God where she knew God was with her. She camped out with him. And the report is, I am cancer free. Amen. 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 You know, nobody raises their hand for the hurts and the horrors in life. Nobody. I remember just saying, I wouldn't even cuss it on my worst enemy. But what we can learn from all of this is, hey, there's valleys and there's wildernesses and there's life not perfect and life's not fair, and we do have an enemy. He's been defeated, but sometimes just things just hit you, all right? If I will take that situation and not camp out there, not stay there, not get depressed there, not get overwhelmed there, but draw into the presence of God, he is faithful. He is with you. His love. He's the rock. He's your strength. Praise the Lord. The Bible says if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. The Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. Praise God. So I hope you all understand. How many of you enjoy the mountaintops? Oh, man, I love mountaintops. I pray mountaintop experiences. But you get to really know your God intimately. You get to know the character of God when you hit a valley, right? And you, if you're wandering around in the wilderness and you think nobody understands, the Bible says we have a high priest who's been had it all. His name is Jesus, right? He understands and he is close to you. He is with you. He is near to you. Always, 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 always. Praise the Lord. So God was not in the spectacular. God is in the whisper. And can I just encourage you is to just make time for the presence of God, especially in this, the pace that we live, the times, you know, it's fast. I have most adorable next door neighbors, and they've got three kids. One's the middle school, and the other two in high school. And I never see them. You know why? They're in their car driving kids all over this, and they're all involved in very good things. And I've watched their kids be wonderful. But life gets so busy. So one day I'm like, you know, to my neighbors, anybody's life full? Anybody's life busy? Anybody, you know, you just feel like some days going, I need a second, okay? So that I just want to encourage you, you need to stop and make time for God's presence to fill you up when you are depleted, all right? You can call it sofa time. You call it rug time. I just talked to a parent, and she's forever running kids here and there. And she said one day it just dawned on her. I'm sitting in the car waiting and waiting and waiting for these kids, you know, and their coaches are talking to them. And what she said, wait a minute, I got the Bible app. Bink. And she just sits there, and she's having the presence of God. Okay? You have to carve out time so God can replenish you. And he's with you. He's close to you. He's always there. Amen. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Father, we ask that your presence would minister grace to everybody in this place. Just heads down, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If I were to ask you, or you could ask yourself, are you wandering in the wilderness? Anybody wandering in the wilderness? Yep, if you can raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. I'm kind of right now in the wilderness, all right? How about this? Let me ask you this question. If you'd say, Pastor D, I'm not in the wilderness. You know, I've been replenishing. I've been just camping out with God, but I want to know that still small whisper even more. How many of you would say, yep, Pastor D, that's it. I really want to know just so much more. I want to know that voice. Praise God. I see that hand. Thank you. I hope all the believers raised your hand or thought it in your brain here. Praise God. We should all say that. God, I want to hear your voice more. I want to know it. I want that still small whisper. I just want to be so tuned into it always that, yep, yep. So let me first pray. Father, I just lift up all those people that find themselves, feel like they're in a wilderness, and I ask that your power would reveal your presence. You just reveal who you are. Father, that you would reveal again how close you are while they're in this valley or in this wilderness, that you would just reveal that you are the rock and they can camp out, stand on that and not be shaken. That you would just reveal that you are the comforter when they're hurting, that you understand what was going on that. We thank you, Father, for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name. Praise God. And I thank you, Father, for all of those that said, Lord, I want to hear more. I want to just be tuned in to that whisper. I thank you, Father, they're going to get up today or before they go to bed tonight, and they're going to say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm here to draw near to you. I'm here to hear from you. I'm here, and I thank you. I'm your sheep. I hear your whisper, and I thank you. You are directing my path. You are strengthening me. You are encouraging me. You are this light in my life because I hear your whisper. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you. One more thing. If you're here today, and everybody just camp out 2 more minutes here. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I don't even know any of that stuff. Matter of fact, Pastor D, I don't even have a relationship to even hear. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to tell you who God is. I want to tell you who he is, and I want to tell you about the problem. See, the problem is we have a sin nature, and that sin nature causes us to do things we don't want to do. We mess up. We sin. We all have that nature, and because of that sin, it has separated us from God, right? But I want to tell you how much God loves you. He doesn't want us to stay separated, and he sent Emmanuel, God with us. He sent Jesus, the perfect one, to take what? To take your sins, hallelujah, so that you can have forgiveness, amen. Jesus died in your place. He rose again, praise the Lord, and he gives you a new life. He gives you a new life. So today, if that's you and you recognize you're in need of God Almighty, you're in need of a Savior. His name is Jesus. The Bible says you can't work for it. You can't be good enough. You cannot be religious enough. Hallelujah. You just simply receive the gift of Jesus, of salvation. So if you're here today, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor D, I need this. I desire to have the relationship, to have my sins forgiven, to have this whisper that I can hear, and we'll all pray with you. Is there anybody? Just raise your hand. No one's looking around. I'm not going to make you stand up and do a cartwheel. Just say, you know, Pastor D, would you pray for me? Is there anyone? Praise God. Wow. Well, look at your neighbor and say, hey, family, you're looking good. That's right. Because if you've prayed that prayer, you're a part of God's family. Right? You're a new creature. You're brand new. Your past is over with. Your future is bright. God is your Father. Hallelujah. And this is family. Man, family, you're looking good. Well, let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Let's make our confession. Hallelujah. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. And I hear his whisper. Amen. Remember, you are a light, and God has people that you just shine, all right? Have a wonderful week. I will see you all Christmas Eve evening at 6:30. Amen? All right. If you'd like prayer, I have elders that are up front. We'll pray for you. If not, coffee's on. Hang out. Say hi to people. Praise the Lord.